There are three primary problems that you and I face every day. One is separation problem, guilt, and accusation. And three problems, these are three basically individuals. The first problem, the separation problem, and that would be basically a work of the Holy Spirit to reveal to a person if they are separated from the life of God. This is not for a believer. This is for someone who does not know God, has not been born of His Spirit, has not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's a separation problem that everyone is born into a fallen nature, into a situation that is beyond our ability to fix. We cannot do enough good to fix what's broken and what's wrong. The only thing that we can do is call upon the name of the Lord and call out for His mercy, for His grace. His grace has been poured out for us. Amen. He's given His life. Jesus laid down His life for not only our forgiveness, but also for our healing. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow these three things to plague us. The separation problem, God, is the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to a person their true condition. If a person does not realize that they are lost, they cannot be saved. Amen. We need to first realize that we have a problem before we can seek a solution. So we cannot offer people salvation except that first they come to an awareness of their sin condition, that they are in trouble with God, that they are separated from God. There are those who want to offer people a cheap grace gospel of accommodation that tells people, all you need to do is say this prayer and you're done. Well, all you need to do is call on the name of Jesus. But you call on the name of Jesus after you have come to a place in your life where you realize that I am lost. If you don't ever come to a place where you realize that you're really lost, then there will be no need within your own understanding of cleansing, of forgiveness, of being reconciled, brought back into right relationship with God. And so there are people who, you know, will justify, you know, what a godly conscience says is wrong. And there are those who feel that within themselves that they are righteous. And if a person feels that they're just a good person, they've done enough good deeds, and I'm a good neighbor, I pay my taxes, I'm a good citizen, surely God should accept me because look how holy I am, look how righteous I am. It's called self-righteousness. That kind of righteousness is not good enough. God does not accept my righteousness. He doesn't accept your righteousness. It doesn't matter how good you are. There's none good, the Bible says. None. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's a separation problem. And the world has to understand. And it's the Word of God that brings to our understanding an awareness of our sin condition so that we can then turn to God in repentance. That means I wake up, I realize that I'm heading in the wrong direction. I need to return to God. I need to call on Jesus. I don't trust in myself. I cannot save myself. I must trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Not what the grace I give myself. I did pretty good today. Give yourself some kudos, you know. No, God is the one who justifies. God is the one who forgives. God is the one who grants us righteousness. He gives to us the gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness through Christ Jesus. Not of works, lest I should boast. And so the separation people need to be aware of. before they can first come, amen, to an awareness and then realize that I need someone bigger than myself to help me out of this mess. I had to come to a place in my life where I realized that all the self-help, all the, you know, trying to help myself up, trying to do it right, get it right, wasn't working. I'd do good for a little while and I was right back into the pit again, you know, right back in the cesspool. And I'd get out of there, I'd come back and I'd attempt to live for Jesus and just find myself right back in the cesspool again. Till I came to an understanding, first of all, that I can't save myself. I can't do it. I don't have what it takes to live a righteous or godly life. Folks, even after Christ comes to dwell within you, you still don't have the ability to live a righteous life. It's never by my performance or by my works or by my efforts that I'm ever going to be righteous with God. If we don't understand this, you're going to continue to be in a place of bondage and defeat, and you'll never have victory. Jesus Christ has won the victory. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Jesus Christ has purchased a people for Himself. And He's the one who declares you and I in Christ to be righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ. My righteousness is the Lord. He makes me righteous. I'm holy because I'm in the Holy One. I'm righteous because I'm clothed in His righteousness. And if you don't know that you're righteous, if you don't believe, you see, that you're holy, you won't live righteous, you won't live holy. If you keep it all upon yourself to perform and to work and to strive and to work towards something that God says is already yours if you will receive it. Some people have been working at it for years and years and never quite getting there and always walking around in guilt and shame and condemnation and fear and hope that someday I'll get through the pearly gates. It's a horrible place. It's a place of bondage. It's a yoke, a heavy yoke. It means you're caught up into that thing. It's a chain. You've got to know that you've been set free in Christ. You've got to be set free by the Son of God. When you're free indeed. And when you're free, you can run for Him. You can serve Him. You can walk in joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not of me. Get yourself out of the equation. You're doing yourself a great big favor. Quit trying to be your Savior. It's all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Coming to an awareness, to the revelation of what God has really done for me at the cross. How He has broken the power of sin in my life. Yeah. That sin is no longer my master. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. And as I declare with my mouth the word of my testimony, declaring what God says about me, it puts into motion the reality of this. For power of life and death is in your tongue. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I say what God says. I pray what God prays. I do what God shows me to do. It is by the law that people come to a realization of their lost condition. It is through the Word that people realize, I've broken God's commandments, I've broken His rules, I've broken His laws. I stand as a guilty sinner, worthy of condemnation. But God in His mercy sent Jesus to pay your price. God in His grace sent Jesus to carry the burden of sin for you so you can go free and walk in new life. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. When we put ourselves in the position of Savior, then we pat ourselves on the back and often we compare ourselves with others. And we become self-righteous even as Christians. We can be. God, I thank you that I'm not like that one over there. Look how holy I am. Can you believe they're smoking cigarettes? Can you believe they're doing all that stuff? Get your eyes off people. Get your eyes on Jesus. Pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Amen. If they've got some kind of vice, hallelujah, pray for them and God will help them out of it. Aren't you glad that God looked past your faults and saw your need of His mercy and says, I love them enough that I'm going to go and I'm going to pay the price. Because you can't pay the price for your own sin. So it's not of us, it's of Him. How do I walk in victory? I walk with Jesus. I just walk with Jesus every day. I acknowledge Him. I call on Him. I praise Him. I sing to Him. I enjoy Him. When you're walking with somebody, you know their heart. You know what's going on. If you blow it with Jesus, you know it because you're walking with Him and He'll let you know. It's that simple. It's a relationship. Isn't that what God wanted all along? A relationship? So the solution is the blood of Jesus. And that's why the devil's trying so hard to take the blood of Jesus out of the message today. Because then it puts people in the position of redeeming themselves through good works or through cooperation with other religions. Let's all just get along, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. The problem with that is the sin sick condition of humanity. There's only one solution, and that is Jesus and His blood. It's at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. It wasn't there by my good merits that I received sight. It was by faith in what God said, the report that He gave me about His Son. Whosoever has the Son, who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you have Jesus Christ? Is Christ in you? You know that. Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, then you are a new creation. God is not holding your past against you anymore. I'm going to say it again. If you're in Christ, God is not holding your past against you anymore. You may hold it against you, and you may be listening to that other voice that's telling you that you're guilty. Interesting enough, he spoke a little bit on this last night. I had this prepared ahead of time, but he talked about guilt. How in early Pentecost, you know, and in many churches, and maybe, I don't know, as many as you grew up in church, some of you may have remembered this, but the evangelists would come out and they would, you know, preach a message, and the message was basically to get you as guilty as possible. Now, to the sinner by simply by the presence of God becomes aware from the light that I'm in darkness. Jesus, His presence brings that conviction. Hello. And the Word of God spoken is necessary to bring conviction to the heart so the person realizes that I need God. I can't do it. I need Him to save me. But what we would do is we would have Christians at the altar, because that's success. They have everybody down at the altar weeping and crying and snot running out of their nose. And then they go off, and the next day they go out and they went to their job or they went to school, and the next night come back, hear another message, they get all guilty all over again and come down again to the altar, feel good, walk out. And sometimes this happens from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday. You're down there at the altar getting saved all over again. Let me suggest to you that when God forgives you, He forgets. It's over. Your past is redeemed. The price has been paid. When you walk in relationship with Christ, And when you love somebody, when you are knowing, beginning to know God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're beginning to know Him. It causes an awesome reverence for Him, an awesome, you know, respect for His holiness and who He is. That's what causes you to live right as far as your walk. When Christ is in you and you have a godly fear, not one afraid of, but in the sense that you highly respect His presence, then out of love for Him and out of respect for Him, you see, you don't do those things that grieve Him. You don't do those things that upset Him. If any man love me, Jesus said, he will obey my commandments. He didn't just say, do this or else. He says, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. Under the law, it was do or die. But in grace, it's like we love and therefore we respond to His love and we cooperate because we don't want to hurt the one we love. And when we're really getting to know Jesus, you can't help but love Him. And when you love Him, you will live right because you want to live to please the one that you love. There's the difference. And so then, we see the second one is the guilt problem. This is my internal condition. Guilt is basically the stain of sin on our conscience. That's what guilt is. It's a stain of sin on your conscience. You see, the blood of Christ will sprinkle even your conscience to purify your conscience so that now you have a clear conscience and you can serve the Lord. Not out of guilt or shame or fear or manipulation or control, but out of a willing heart you serve the Lord when you have a clear conscience. When you are walking around in guilt and in shame and in fear, you will not serve the Lord acceptably, if at all. The reason why many people will not serve the Lord is because of the guilt problem that they're carrying. It's because their conscience bothers them. And then the devil, the accuser, comes up. On top of that, he adds insult to injury. And he starts accusing you and make you feel like God hates you because you did that and you did that. And He pulls you away from fellowship. That's what He wants to do. He just wants you to disconnect, to pull you away from fellowship with God. He wants you to feel that God doesn't accept you. He wants you to feel that God doesn't love you. Have you ever heard that voice? He wants you to think that you've done too much and just God's not going to accept you now. You've blown it. You went too far. You might as well just go out and live for me, he says, because, you know, this is the only heaven you're going to know. That's a lie. Don't listen to him. Amen. You know, a good example of a guilty conscience is a dirty mirror. You know, through the years there's an accumulation of filth so that you can't no longer see. And you're constantly reminded, hopefully you don't wait for a year to clean your mirror, but how many have ever looked into a dirty mirror before? If you don't clean it, it will continue to get, it will collect, and it'll get dirty. So what you end up with is kind of a distorted view of things, and then you're constantly reminded every time you look. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience, or purge your conscience, from dead works to serve the living God. How many know it's important that you have a clear conscience? Yes. Yes. You don't have to walk out of here today, all right, with a guilty conscience. It doesn't matter how long you've been feeling guilty and feeling ashamed and feeling fearful. God wants you to be free today. He wants you to come to a realization that He loves you, He accepts you, you're His child, He began a good work in you, He's faithful to complete it. Don't walk in guilt, don't walk in shame, don't walk in fear, because you are a child of the Most High God. You have been given access to come into your Father's house. He's not going to make you sit out on the porch. You don't have to beg God because you're not a beggar. You're a son. You're a daughter. You come to your Father, and your Father loves you, and your Father accepts you, and your Father wants you to come home because He wants to put His arms of love around you. And your Father wants you to be healed. He wants you to be restored. He wants to heal the deep wounds of yesterday. He wants your conscience to be purified and cleared so that you can run as a child once again and just enjoy life.
Amen.
As you run the race with Christ, free to serve. Simply pray, Lord, forgive me for what I did. Thank you for paying the price for that sin on the cross. I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. It's not by our merits. It's what Jesus did. Just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And you know what? You don't have to beg Him. The first time you said, I'm sorry, Jesus, and you meant it in sincerity, guess what? You're forgiven. That's it. It's done. But then you have the accuser, though. That's another problem. And sometimes we can come up from an altar call or just a time when we just had, you know, we had to get things right with God, and we feel clean and we feel, wow, everything looks bright and beautiful and life is good. And you walk out the door and the devil's there and he says, remember what you did. God didn't forgive you for that. God's holding your past against you. He's the accuser of the brethren. So the source of that, of course, is Lucifer, who is a liar. Remember, it was Satan who accused Job that he was receiving bribes from God, that God was basically bribing him by all the good things that he had, by his possessions. Job was a wealthy man. He says he's only following you because you've given him all this stuff. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? And so God allowed a test to take place in Job's life. He said, okay, go ahead and test him out. Anybody ever been tested before? That's our opportunity to shine. It's our opportunity to see the mighty power of God work in our lives. It's the opportunity to see God intervene and for us to grow in our faith and our trust that God is always going to be faithful. You got to practice this thing, amen? The testing of your faith. It means really to put the to test your faith. Well, I heard it in theory. I've got the knowledge. I've got the study down tight here. Well, studying is good, but studying is only the start. Amen? There's time in the classroom, but then there's time out there on the boat. Amen? You got to get out of the classroom. You got to get out of the boat like Peter did, and you got to start saying, oh, let me give this thing a shot here. Jesus said, come to me on the water. He says, okay. We need more Peters, man. You know, we criticize Peter for his lack of faith. Hello, some people don't even get out of the boat.
Yeah.
And they're criticizing Peter. At least he got out of the boat.
Right.
And he walked on the water.
Yeah.
Come on, we need more Peters. We got to be bold. We got to just step out and say, okay, God says it. We're going to do this thing. Where's the God of Elijah? Get over ourselves. Disregard that voice that says, you're going to look foolish if nothing happens. Come on. As soon as you get ready to step out for God, somebody's going to try to oppose you. Somebody's going to try to sow disbelief and unbelief. And you don't receive that. You say, well, what did God say? That's my standard. What does the Bible say? What does the book say? That's my standard. I don't care what my own heart says. I don't care what others may say. I'm going to believe what God says about me. If the devil tells you you're worthless, I'll say no. God says I'm worthy.
Amen.
How worthy was I? How much did God think I was worth it? Jesus went to the cross for me. Folks, you're worth it to God. He loves you. It's the devil who wants to beat you down, who wants to dump all this guilt and condemnation upon you, to keep you from being who you are, to keep you from bearing fruit, to shut you down and to rob you of your inheritance. I'll just keep him in accusation and guilt and fear and shame. And that way, they'll shut down, and out of fear, they won't serve God. And I'll have the victory. Frank can attest to this, but in the military, there's this thing called propaganda. To use certain tactics with the enemy. Remember Frank up on the DMZ? And they had the speakers going all the time and talking about, you know, come on over to the other side, it's much nicer over here. And other times it would be accusation and stuff that was being said to try to make you feel like, you know, you just didn't have what it took to come against them. And the devil does the same thing. He lies to us and he tells us that you will never overcome your sin. You'll never be able to defeat me. You'll never be free. You're always going to have that problem. Have you ever heard that voice? He uses propaganda. He starts to feed you with lies. And that's where we need to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whose side am I on here? I'm on Jesus' team, amen? I'm on Jesus' side. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, and yes, even under the earth. Go therefore and make disciples. I've got it all. It's mine and you're mine and I'm backing you up. Go. Go in my name. I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He has authority. He has the name above all names. We're on the winning team. Why are we listening to that other voice that says, you can't, you won't, you'll never? Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. He put his faith in his God, who is greater than the problem, greater than everything he faced. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, God said in the new covenant, he says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Have you confessed your sins today, folks? Have you got your heart right with God? Have you confessed your sins to God? Have you repented? Have you turned to Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Then he says that your sins are blotted out. He says he's not going to remember those things of your past any longer. They're under the blood. Oh, see, we get into trouble when we start comparing ourselves. I'm doing pretty good. Beware lest at any time you think you stand, you fall. We stand because of Christ. He's our strength. Amen? Yes. He's the one we run to. He's the one we lean on. He's the one we trust. He's the one we call on. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that began a good work. He's the one that will complete the good work. It's not of me, it's of Him. My life is in Him. Therefore, it's no longer I. Like Paul said, that live. I die to my self-righteousness. I die to myself. I die to the fact that I'm no longer my own. Amen? I die to myself. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. I've been purchased. I've been enlisted as a soldier in the army of God. I'm His. And He can take care of His own. He's got me in the palm of His hand. I mean, you know that God knows what's in the palm of His hand. If you're there, hello, put your trust in Him. There's no longer any condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8:1. Amen. To those who are in Christ Jesus. So the guilt problem has been dealt with already by the blood of Jesus. Remember, I've shared this probably with some of you before, but Bruce will remember this. We had some neighbors when I was growing up. We had a bunch of kids. There's about 25 of us. We used to run around, get into trouble all the time, and you've heard of the sweets, right? Yeah. They were called the sweets, and there was nothing sweet about these kids. But we used to hang out and play in the playground and whatever. And there was this one girl that was about, she was probably my age, but she was about head and shoulders above me. And her name is Janie. And she was just a real tomboy kind of girl. I just want to kind of set it up for you here a little bit. But Janie was... She liked to fight, you know. So, I mean, I'd be out there getting beat up by Janie sometimes, you know. We'd be duking it out. But Janie had learned some things, and I think she learned it from her parents. In fact, I know they did. But they knew that my folks didn't put up with a lot of stuff. And in that time, anyways, you know, even people that were nominal Christians, you didn't use bad language, you know. And so in my house, we didn't cuss. Right, Bruce? Out on the playground, you know, we would get into it and something would slip out. I'd cuss. Well, Janie would get a hold of that. Now, in her house, she could cuss like a sailor and nothing would happen. But if we cussed, she'd say, "Oh!" And she'd get a hold of that. And she'd get on her bike and she would run, or she'd run to the house to tell my mom what I just said. Isn't that just like the devil to accuse? You ought to hear what he says. And then my mom would come out with a wooden spoon, you know, and then she'd stand by. Ah. That's the accusation thing, you know. But you see it played out in a simple illustration like that. Oh yeah, one time I was going to get Janie. She was riding her bike to tell on me, and I got a stick and I went for the spokes. Yeah. I've since repented, but it felt good at the time. Yeah. How can I distinguish between the accusations of the enemy and the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Accusation and conviction. What's the difference? How can you tell? When God is convicting us, folks, it's always with an encouragement to draw near to Him. When God's doing it, it's always, come to me, Jesus said, come to me. I'll take care of it. I've got you covered. Yes. He's our defense attorney. He wants to cover you. You go, but you got to come to Him. You got to repent and you got to turn to Him. But when Satan does it, it's usually very unspecific. It's negative. And it's with an intent to discourage us and draw us away. When it's an accusation, folks, it's always to draw you away from God. When God saw Adam, amen, He came looking for Adam after he had sinned. He's hiding out in the garden. Adam, where are you? You know, we were naked and we hid. Who told you you were naked? Well, that was the accuser. What did it do? It caused him to run away from God. Folks, do you see today that God so much loves you? He has such a wonderful plan for your life. All He's saying is just come. Don't run away. Come to me. Let me heal you. Let me restore your life. Let me make something beautiful out of the mess. He wants to do that. He wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He wants to give you a garment of praise that spirit of heaviness, casting off all those things, the guilt and the shame and the fear and the condemnation. Hey, it has no place for a child of God. You don't have to walk in guilt. Jesus Christ is taking care of the guilt problem. It's the blood of Jesus that will sprinkle your conscience and cleanse it so that you can now serve God acceptably. So when God is identifying a sin in our lives, He's very specific about it. Hello? When the devil is accusing you, it'll be very general. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just feel like something's wrong. I've done something. And you know, it never hurts to say, God, if I did something to offend you, please forgive me. I do that. But if that thing keeps tagging along and keeps nagging you and keeps bugging you, folks, that's not God. It's the accuser, who will be very unspecific about it. It's very general and just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just feeling that things aren't right. I'm going to believe what God said. The moment in sincerity that I confess my sin to God, it's done. It's taken care of. It's over. All I got to say is, Jesus, I'm sorry. I blew it. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. And you know what He does? He says, I forgive you. Forget it. Forget it. Because He's forgetting it. He does. It's amazing. It says He forgets. It means He's just like, hey, forget it. I forget it. Don't carry it. Don't carry it anymore. Get that junk off you. Get that accuser off your back. Start declaring what God says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The Lord has made me righteous in Christ. I am holy in Him who is holy. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. When you start to declare what God says and you align yourself with the truth always defeats the lie. The truth sets you free. Remember being down at the altar, blubbering and crying out and begging God to forgive. How many know that you don't have to beg God? You just need to be honest and sincere. That's it. So don't receive that lie from the enemy that you're not forgiven. You're like a dripping faucet, the accusations of the enemy. So, hallelujah. I'm going to finish with this. You ready? Number one, the separation problem has been solved. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Number two, the guilt problem has been solved. Hebrews 9:14 talks about that. Our conscience can be cleansed. Thirdly, the accusation has also been solved. We overcome our adversary by the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony. We declare what God says. The lie says this, I say, speak to the hand, devil. This is what God says. Amen? I'm going to believe what God said. Jesus is our high priest. He went into the heavens. Temple, there's actually, heaven is a temple. There's a temple in the throne of God. And Jesus Christ, as the high priest, by His own blood, it says that He entered in to the most holy place. And the blood is there, folks, in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. It speaks mercy. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks grace to the repentant sinner. The one who says, God, I'm sorry. Would You forgive me? Lord, would You please forgive me? Would You cleanse me from my unrighteousness? Would You purify my heart? And He says, yes. The price has already been paid. I was just waiting for you to agree with me and believe the report. I believe, and therefore I'm justified. I'm not guilty today. I'm not in fear. I'm not in shame. I'm not in condemnation today. I'm free to walk with Jesus. I'm not going to allow anybody to put me in their religious box and steal my joy and steal my freedom. Amen? I walk with Jesus. And I enjoy life. And religious people hate it. Because they're bound and they want you to be bound just like them. But Jesus came to break the yoke of religion off people and say, it's not about doing all this stuff. It's about you walking with me. It's that simple. And when you love someone, you cooperate with them. Amen? You work together. You're partners.